Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome into the show, the North Shore Fishing Report. Coming to you on a cold Saturday morning, but let's not let the cold morning fool you. I took a look at the forecast today, and it's going to warm up quite nicely during the day. Going to be a beautiful November day for us here in South Louisiana. Looks like more than a foot and a half falling tide for us here on the North Shore, so don't let the cold start affect your trip. It's going to warm up quite nicely, and looks like it's going to warm up throughout the week. So a good week of fishing coming as well. And look, that's going to be the theme of the show this morning, how to deal with these cool fronts that pass through this time of the year, and coming up in December as well. You know, it seems right when the weather stabilizes and the barometric pressure has stabilized, wham, another cold front blows past. And yeah, the rain, the winds switch around to the north, it drains all the water out, the pressure drops, goes haywire, and well, for the most part, you're left with a day or two after the front those fish seem to have lockjaw, it seems. So the cold fronts have started, and that signals a time to change up your approach to how you fish. But look, it's because of these cold fronts that we have the cold weather, huh? November is one of the best months to fish, and it's because those water temperatures are perfect. The rivers and the lake, anytime you get the water temperatures in the upper 60s and lower 70s, that's going to translate into fish. So what's going on the North Shore? Well, I'm glad you asked. For one, we've had a pretty solid speckled trout run at the Trestle Strain Bridge in Slidell. This started up around about a month ago, and it's still going strong. Those trout they'll ultimately move out into deeper water, but for now they're at the trestles. They've been known to hold to that bridge into January sometimes if those temperatures are warm. I recall a winter, I think it was 2017, where we were still catching trout at the trestles in January. Of course, that was a record-breaking warm winter, so that's something to gauge the specs with. But I look for these fish to be caught easily into December. When you start seeing those water temperatures dip into the 50s, that's when we'll see the trestles die off, and then the speckled trout anglers can, they move on down to the Biloxi Marsh and then over there on fish the wall on the ICW, and that's where they'll be headed next with the dropping temperature. So good reports coming from the trestles train bridge. Mixed bag. Half of them catching them on artificial and about half with live shrimp. So, fishing matrix. I even saw some reports with sparkle beetles. So on a 3/8 ounce head, a half ounce jig head also, depending on that current. That current's strong, you need to switch over to a half ounce sometimes to get down to the bottom. And you know the routine. Look, we're starting at Firebreak 173. We're working the west side of that bridge. Use that trolling motor to cover some water. Take note where you catch your first fish, and then you loop back around and hit that same spot over and over again. If you have to, you should be able to put together a nice box of fish. But actually, let's get to a few reports here from the trestles. This one's from Jeremy Dutch, and he fished the train bridge, made an afternoon trip. He was using a sliding cork with a live shrimp underneath. Jeremy says the bite was slow before the tide move, and that's the key. It seems to be the key these days with the trestles is moving water. He says he only caught five or six trout before 3:30 in the afternoon, but the bite got good when the tide started to fall. And after that, he was able to box 21 specks and a sheep's head. Jeremy says he saw others catching fish on artificial. He decided to try that, and he let his line sit with the shrimp on the side. But after a couple of missed fish on the shrimp line, well, that ended that experiment. He went back to strictly fishing with live shrimp. Yeah, I don't blame you, Jeremy. Hard to stick with the plastic when they're clearly hitting the live shrimp, huh? Yeah, another report. Kelly Krieger made an afternoon trip. Fished mid-lake at the trestles and says the bites were hard to come by on plastic. Another tough report with plastic. Spent an hour using several different plastics but didn't get a bite. Switched over to live shrimp on the bottom, and That's when they started pulling in the fish. Krieger says trout hits were very subtle. He thought it was a crab on the other end of the line. He says Kelly was fishing on the west side of the bridge with a strong falling tide. Yeah, that sounds about right. The colder that water gets, the more subtle those bites. When I think of soft speckled trout bites, I think of late November and early December fishing, around that wall in Chalmette. Colder water means subtle strikes most of the time. Kind of reminds me of a sockeye bite sometimes. Sometimes those sockeye just mouth that bait, it seems. Gotta stay aware of the rod tip and what your line's doing. But we're going to talk more about the trestles with Andy Jones of Wicked Charters when he joins us in a few minutes. As far as the freshwater scene goes, cold fronts are going to affect the bass more than the trout, so you really have to stay away from the day after a front. But let's get to an interesting bass report here on North Shore Fishing Report. Randall Photo of Mandeville, he was setting his jug lines over on Bayou Lacombe, and he says he had a few minutes of daylight left, so he started fishing that shoreline in Powell Canal. And that's just off the main bayou, right where that big bridge is on Lake Road. So he was throwing a silver and black curly tail worm, and his phone rang. He looked down and saw that it was his wife, so he answered it. And lo and behold, he feels a thump, sets the hook, and now he's got a bass on the other end. He reeled it all the way up to the boat, saw how big it was, and told the wife, "Well, got to let you go. It's a big one." So he got it into the boat and took it down to Bay Adventure, weighed it, and turns out he caught a 4.68-pound bass right there in Powell Canal. Boy, ain't that the truth, huh? Right when the phone rings, get on the phone, seems like you get a bite, huh? You could check out that full story on the front page of NorthShoreFishingReport.com. So we'll talk more about this. I'll get Chris Basie's opinion on that, talking on the phone while fishing, when he joins us later on. Chris is into the bass fishing, and he's got the latest on the tournament scene here on the North Shore. Also, we're going to check in with Cajun Ray Miller and see what the crappie are up to now with the colder weather here. Ray fishes the Chifuncta River, so we'll get a report on that area and also get some tips for targeting sockeye with the cold water temperatures. But coming up, it's Captain Andy Jones of Wicked Charters. We're going to talk Lake Pontchartrain fishing. So check in on Andy and see what the trestles are doing. You're listening to the North Shore Fishing Report on More Outdoors, 105.3 HD2, or streaming live at DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. Be right back. Welcome back to the show, the North Shore Fishing Report. Coming up, we're going to get the scoop on what's biting in Lake Pontchartrain and also Lake Bourne. Lake Pontchartrain, we had a great fall this year. That lake has really recovered, and the fishermen were able to get back to normal as far as speckled trout goes. We've seen that northern shoreline of Lake Pontchartrain heat up. Now it looks like the trout are on their way out of the lake, and that's their normal migration with the cold weather here. But it's not over for the lake. The Trestles Train Bridge over there in Slidell is produced these last few weeks, and it's still producing. We've got Captain Andy Jones of Wicked Charters on the line right now, and he's going to clue us into what's going on at the Trestles and other locations. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, Keith. How are you?
I'm doing good. Cold start. Looks like a beautiful day coming up, huh?
Yeah, well, we were hoping it was going to be a little warmer than this morning, but it is an absolute gorgeous day. Not too many clouds, but I'm telling you, it's chilly.
Yeah, well, need I remind you of the last day of August and into September? That makes us weather feel a whole lot better.
I swore I wasn't going to complain about the cold this year, and I started complaining on the first cold front.
Built to complain. Andy, fishing today?
We are out on the Trestles taking a look right now. Yeah, we got John and Michelle, and we are running around a little. Little bumpier out here than we expected, but we should have a fun day if we can keep everybody warm.
Wind's blowing out the north.
It's blowing pretty good. Yeah. Pretty good out of the north.
Yeah. Well, talk about the trestles a little bit. What you seeing out there? What's the crowds like out there today?
Well, I was really expecting to be a lot more people out here than what we've got. We've got definitely a few boats, some guys looking. It's not it's not overly crowded, but I think this cold weather has kept a lot of people in.
Yeah. Maybe the forecast of the winds, I think we got 10 to 15. That'll do it for, Lake Pontchartrain. I'll keep maybe half the anglers off the water. But, hey, I've been with you where we had terrible conditions and we caught fish out there, huh?
Absolutely. You just never know. And actually, days like today, I'm going to drop the trolling gear and do a little trolling and just see if we can't pull some stuff here after we finish up with the show.
Yeah. So you have enough room out there to do some trolling?
Oh, yeah. There's, like I said, you got a few boats here and there. We got plenty of room, some good stretches, and, it should definitely be worth taking a look.
Yeah. Andy, the trestles, they're known for those World Series trout. We catch along the bridge pylons. But I've been watching reports and talking to some guys who fish the bridge, and the trout are, they're a good size. There's nothing wrong with 16, 18-inch trout, but seems like we're missing those headline-making trout, those trout that are over 5 pounds. What's your thoughts on the overall size of the fish coming off the bridge?
Yeah, I agree with you. They're still beautiful trout, and, when people see those bridge trout, just the thickness, when you're used to seeing 12-inchers, and then all of a sudden you get the 16, 17, with a little weight, you're like, you don't have to measure the fish. But I agree with that statement. It doesn't seem like we're seeing the big mules like we normally see.
Yeah. And hey, we're not complaining here. We just this incredible recovery from that spillway. So just like I said, 16 to 18 inch trout.
Well, that's why you've had 3 weeks of absolute mayhem out here. People started seeing trout, and everybody wanted to see what one looked like again.
Yeah. And you can't keep a secret out there because you literally got thousands of cars and trucks passing over that bridge watching people, what they're catching and everything. So it's hard to keep tight-lipped on that trestle bridge.
When that bite turns on, everybody that's going over or anybody that's in the vicinity, word gets out pretty quick.
Andy, what about deep dead? We had a phenomenal fall so far. Still going strong? Take advantage of that, hitting the box.
Right. The sheephead have been good. The blue cats have absolutely been amazing. Redfish, of course, have been just steady. They've been, of course, we just had a fantastic year with the red. So, it's the sheephead are still there. The box are in the lake. Great fighting fish and a great eater. And there's still been plenty to be found.
Andy, I got a report here from Sam Coco Jr. You familiar with Sam's reports? He fishes from land over in his neighborhood in Oak Harbor and Slidell. He fished Wednesday, caught 8 specks and a flounder all from land, all from his dock, using a matrix shad in ultraviolet color. He says it's his best November he's ever had fishing from land. When you catch 8 specks and a flounder from land, you're doing pretty good.
That's a great day, and that's a lot of fun. That is good, and that's great to hear. I get people asking me all the time about places they can go from shore that produce, and shore you always feel like you're a little bit against it, but I'll tell you, between the Chifuncta River and you get into Oak Harbor and those areas, if you can get in there, there's definitely pockets of fish, and you can have great days.
Absolutely. Andy, have you frequented that North Shore shoreline? I mean, that's pretty much dead, huh? Those trout have moved out to the trestles and moving out to deeper water.
Yeah, it's been pretty quiet over there. We haven't seen anything. I've been staying between the Chifuncta River and the Causeway and the trestles. I like to run those areas. And we've had really good mixed boxes of some giant, just beautiful blue cats, some sheephead, some nice redfish on the western end of the lake. We're not really seeing trout over there by the causeway. And then as you get, further to the east over here and you get in Slidell, the trout, reds, and the sheephead, you're still getting good boxes. So,
What about that Lakeshore Estates area, Andy?
Absolutely insane this year. Trout have stacked up in there, and it's been, the word got out on that, just like on the trestles. and really good boxes of fish coming out of there. Yeah, a lot of fish in there in those areas. So the fish are looking for that good deep water, and they get in those canals, and, man, it's on.
And you mentioned blue cats. What's the sentiments with your customers on blue cats? Are they willing to keep those and cut them up and eat those too?
Well, I've got some people that absolutely love them more than anything, and I'm one of those guys that people don't want to keep them. I'm usually keeping them for myself, you know, but most everybody, especially these are beautiful cold water blues. I mean, they're as pretty as I've ever seen, and they're phenomenal eating. So, yeah, a lot of folks keep them, and they like them. And, you know, we just kind of go by what the customer's really looking for. If they say, hey, we just want to catch fish, we don't care, you know, mm-hmm. we'll say, all right. Well, if they're targeting a specific species.
You've got the right man.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So then they want to do trout and reds, and we try to just target trout and reds for them.
Yeah. Another thing with those blue cats out in the lake, you don't have to worry about that muddy taste when eating catfish with catching them out in the lake, huh?
Yeah, I tell you, they're phenomenal. We haven't had any issues with the taste of those fish at all. There's, like I said, they're as good or, you know, they're as good as you get. So I got several guys who think that's the best fish in the lake. So.
Andy, man, those artificial reefs, I haven't heard too much about them. That pylon off of Bayou Lacombe, I think they removed the pylon now. It's harder to find that shell pad. But there's some other artificial reefs. Any news coming from them?
You know, I checked that pile the other day, and you know how those reefs are, man. They're either there or they're not. And when they're there, you're on. You know, every time I go by there, I always want to take a peek. And, you know, we just didn't have anything over there. I think we got one puppy drum last time I checked that area. But, yeah, you're right. I haven't heard a lot coming from there. I was thinking maybe with this cold snap there might have been something moving on there today.
Mm-hmm. It's always worth a shot. I mean, if you find it, generally you're going to be the only boat out there, and you're going to hammer possibly a limit.
If you get on them, if you catch fish there, start, you know, you get one or two, it's going to be on. They're there.
Right.
You just got to pinpoint them.
Andy, flounder, man, I'm hearing reports from all across South Louisiana. It looks like we're over the hill with flounder. It was a tough few years, but it looks like they're coming back. Maybe it had something to do with the oil spill, maybe not. I hear, you know, different viewpoints from different people, but nevertheless, flounder look like they're back. Catching any flounder?
We had a good season with several nice fish. It was great to see them come back. Like you said, it's been really dry. We haven't had them in years, really. It was something that nobody was catching them. And then this year, we've definitely seen a resurgence. The fish are coming back, and you're seeing great posts on the fishing report there, guys getting them, and then on other sites you're seeing it. So, and we've definitely put a few in the box, and we've released a few, and we've lost a few at the side just out of pure shock. So.
that 2 second pause, like, what is that?
yeah, exactly.
You got a favorite flounder recipe? We got Thanksgiving coming up, you know.
Oh man, I love stuffed flounder, stuffed mm-hmm. with crab meat. It doesn't get any better than that, you know. A good crab meat stuffing packed in that whole flounder. And then I love just fried flounder as well. So, you know me, I'm not too picky when it comes to that food.
Yeah,
it's not
hard
to please me, but that's one of my favorites right there.
Yeah, that stuffed flounder, stuffed shrimp, or stuffed with crab, like you said, and you get that boy slotted into the oven, you get that nice browning right over the top. Oh, man, it doesn't get any better than that. Sprinkled with a little lemon.
Oh, man, it does not get any better than that. You got it right.
Andy, shrimp, we're starting to see the shrimp kind of move out. What about bait fish? Any kind of surface action you're seeing? You paying attention to any of that?
Yeah, we were checking around for bait for this morning. I know it's getting a little tougher to come by. Isla Marina's done a great job of keeping them, but you know, we'll get into that little time of the year where it's going to get harder and harder to come by, and you'll be going to artificials, trolling, and all those different types of fishing.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll hear that wind blowing, Andy. Where can some folks get some information about booking a trip, buddy?
Go to the North Shore Fishing Report and click on our banner right there, along with all the other great sponsors got on that page. And anything they want to know about North Shore Fishing Report is right at their fingertips.
All right, Andy, great talking with you this morning. Look, if I don't talk to you before Thanksgiving, have a happy Thanksgiving. Got any special recipes you're going to try this Thanksgiving?
Well, we always like that Cajun fried turkey. Doesn't get any better than that. Some ham, and we might even have a little duck this year. I think the oldest got a few. We're just going to mix it up and then just enjoy all the bounty that Louisiana has to offer, and just give our thanks for being here.
Absolutely. Well, good luck today, Andy, and keep me posted. Give me a report, man.
All right, Keith. You guys stay warm and have a great weekend. Go Tigers.
Go Tigers. All right, Andy Jones right there, Wicked Charters. Cold weather is here. Things are changing, but hopefully we can get a few more weeks of great fish in the lake before those water temperatures shut the bite down. All right, let's get to the break right quick. Then when we come back, we're going to talk a little bass fishing with Chris Basie. Chris is the tournament director for Bass Assassins. He does a lot of bass fishing on the North Shore as well, so we'll talk to Chris and get some tips on transitioning over the cold weather bass fishing. Be right back. Welcome back to the show, the North Shore Fishing Report. Up next, we're going to talk a little bass fishing, more specifically bass tournament fishing. Up next is Chris Basie. Chris is a tournament director for Bass Assassins, and he's also an avid bass fisherman here on the North Shore. Also has a show called CB Bassin, in which he has tutorials about bass fishing, tips. He's got some tricks. He's got some how-tos. Got a tournament blog as well. You can find that on NorthShoreFishingReport.com. So Chris joins me right now. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Keith.
Chris, now the tournament scene on the North Shore, it's winding down. Most tournaments are wrapping up for the year, and we'll start back up in January. What tournaments are still going on right now?
You still got the Liars and Lunkers, and the Pearl River Team Trails are still going on right now. And that's all coming up.
And you guys are done, Bass Assassins?
Yes, sir. We're done till February, and we'll have our classic at the beginning of February, and then the regular season starts off on the third Sunday in February.
Chris, where did you guys fish last? Was that East Pearl?
Yes, sir. It was East Pearl, and very, very tough right during that tournament.
Talk a little bit about that tournament, if you don't mind.
Just in true 2019 form, it seems like this whole year has been nothing but fronts and high water and rain and storms. And the East Pearl was muddy, cold. The weather was really cold. We had a front 2 days before it. So nothing was looking good for us. You know, 17 guys showed up to fish it. And Eric Seco, he had to pull out a win to get his Angler of the Year points back and win the Angler of the Year title, and he ended up doing it. He only had four keepers, but he ended up winning with those four fish. So he got the Angler of the Year also. Yep.
That's great. What a great fisherman. Man, four fish, and he won the tournament. How was the total weight?
He had four fish for 8-7, and right behind him in second place was Danny Giovingo with five fish, 8-2. So it was close. Mm-hmm. If he'd have lost, I'm sure he'd have kicked himself in the butt for not having that fifth fish.
Yeah. Man. So you guys have your classic coming up. What's that, in February, you said?
Yes, sir. It'd be February 2nd.
And how many anglers will be fishing that?
There'll be 19 of them qualified for it.
19. And qualifying for that goes throughout the year, huh? You get first place,
right,
and you automatically qualify, yeah. Well, Chris, talk a little bit about the winter transition as far as what you're targeting. I have to think you're looking for sun-soaked features like wood, rocks, bulkheads, wharfs, lily pads. First off, talk a little bit about what that means, you know, like a sun-soaked feature.
Right. Anything that the sun is pounding on that is outside of the water, it pulls, and it also goes into the water. It pulls the heat into the water. And it's funny you talk about that, because that's the pattern I was running for that East Pearl tournament. Any metal bulkhead or any concrete or rock that I could find, I was fishing those banks because the water was a couple of degrees warmer in that area. And anytime that they can find something, it's like a warming blanket to them. You get home, you want to pull your blanket over on your recliner, it's the same thing to them. So
we're finding actual structure that's the sun can touch, and then it's bringing that right. sun, that warmth down into the water.
Right.
What are we changing as far as baits? We're throwing different colors. We're throwing crankbaits, spinnerbaits.
Generally, I like to go. Usually, the water gets a little bit clearer during the winter. Not all the time, but sometimes. And I like to have more of a natural color. And also, I'm going to kind of downsize. As the winter goes on, it gets really cold. I start downsizing my baits because they're not really looking to eat that much. Their metabolism has slowed down with the colder weather. So they don't need to eat that much like in the summertime. So I'm going to downsize my lures, slow down, and fish methodically. That's basically the adjustments I'm going to make.
Mm-hmm. Well, Chris, let's play thumbs up, thumbs down. You know how it works. I call out a specific location, and you give us a thumbs up or a thumbs down as to whether or not that location is worth a shot this weekend. We're going to start, let's head on over to Bayou Bonfica. We're going to launch at Heritage Park, head south to Palm Lake Bayou. We're going to fish those turns in the bayous. Thumbs up or thumbs down?
That's a thumbs up right there. That's kind of the areas I'm going to key in on right now, because these fish are going to move in to the pockets and into the bayous. And any of the curves that have the deeper water in them, real close to something like a dock or a rock bank like we were just talking about, I'm going to fish those areas, because in the morning they're going to kind of be a little bit deeper. But once that sun starts pounding on that bank, they're going to start moving up to get to that warmth. Mm-hmm. So that's the areas I'm going to really concentrate on right there.
All about the warmth, huh?
Mm-hmm, definitely.
All right, let's head on over to West Pearl, launch at Crawford's Landing. We're going to head south to Devil's Elbow. Thumbs up, thumbs down.
Right now, it's a thumbs down. That river's at 15 and a half foot right now, and all of that's going to be muddied up and nasty right now. I don't even know if you can get to the bank in that area, so I'm going to definitely say thumbs down there.
Sounds like a big thumbs down. That's a dumb question.
Two thumbs down right there.
Two thumbs down.
Yeah.
All right, let's move over to Jafunka River. Let's launch at 4th Street, and we're going to head south to the docks right before the interstate. Thumbs up or thumbs down?
That's a thumbs up in that area. That's an area just kind of like in the Bonfuca area. They got deep water right there that they can retreat to, and a lot of docks along there to warm up the water and bulkheads. So I'm definitely thumbs up in that area.
All right, Chris, let's get over. We've got one more tournament that I wanted to get out there, and you don't qualify for this. This is Mr. Joe Piccone's club. This is the Double Nickel Bass Club. You got to be 55 years of age or over to fish it. There's a 3-fish limit. There's a $20 entry fee. And they're going to be fishing over at the Green Bridge at the East Pearl River, heading towards Pearlington over there. That's going to be Thursday, November 29th. That's Black Friday. So hopefully Mr. Joe gets a good turnout for that one. Chris, I think you got a few more years to qualify for that, huh?
Yeah, I got a few more years. And Joe threatened that when I reach 55, he's going to move it to 56. So.
Oh, that sounds like Social Security.
Yeah, he's going to keep bumping it right above my head.
All right, yeah, so hopefully, Mr. Joe runs things a little bit differently. Like I said, has a 3-fish limit, so and they usually fish during the week, so he's going to try to put this thing together on Black Friday. Should be no excuse for guys not to get out there. Maybe, you know, watch the weather. The only thing that could hamper conditions out there is maybe a cold front coming through. But, well, all right, Chris, talk a little bit about, you know, we don't hear too many reports about, you know, fishing soft plastics around the cold. It's usually spinner baits and cranks. But I'm getting a few reports over there on Bayou Bonfica. Daniel Sissick and his dad are fishing. His dad's Roger. And they're sticking with the plastic worms, and they're just tearing it through that grass. And right when it passes the grass, they're just letting it flutter down, and bam, they're hitting it on the way down. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. That's a, like I said, I think I mentioned that in one of my videos lately, that the speed worm is just, it's a staple. You know, when everything else is not working, I just go to that speed worm and just reel it through that grass like they're doing and drop it in the holes or drop it at the edge. It always seems to work no matter what time of year it is. You know, as far as like during the winter, I'll use a rattle trap every now and then or a square bill, but I'll use them more when it's post frontal, when the fish don't want to bite, when I'm trying to make a reaction bite. But when it's slowed down, it's just cold, I'm going to throw slower baits and slow down with the, because everything else is being slow right then, and everything else is acting slow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, I've fished with that worm in a soft plastic where you let it drop, and in the winter, it's so cold that the clarity of the water is really good, and you can actually see the flash of the fish when it hits, and you can see that line tick, and you just set the hook. So, like you said, everything's slower. As far as crankbaits go, I see some guys and they'll rip that crankbaits through the wood and it's hit knocking on wood and everything. Can you do that? Because I've tried it and I'm like, man, I can't lose this crankbait. I can't rip it through that wood, you know. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, you got to have a square bill. I mean, you got to have, because the rounded bills won't bounce off of the structure as much. If you use a square bill, it will bounce right over everything. I've thrown it through treetops, over rocks. Every now and then you'll get it hung up, but it works really good because it causes a reaction. If that fish is sitting there minding his business and all of a sudden something, boom, hits the wood and bounces off in front of him, he just strikes just out of reaction. And that's really the bite you're looking for right there.
Absolutely. Chris, you got any Thanksgiving plans this year? Yeah, hitting the road or staying home?
I'll be around here, hopefully fishing. Mm-hmm. I go out and pester the 55 and older crowd.
Heckle them? You're going to heckle them.
Yeah, I'm going to heckle them for a little while.
That ought to be fun. I got a few jokes for you, Lem. I'll email you a few jokes you can heckle them with, okay?
I just want to say that's all I'm good for. I joke them guys are amazing guys, and we have a blast out there messing with each other.
A lot of them are sponsored by Geritol.
Yeah, that's right. I'm going to bring up some cases of it.
Let's hope Mr. Joe doesn't have his radio on right now.
He's going to be calling me, don't worry.
Well, all right, Chris. Thanks so much for joining us this morning, man.
No problem, man. Thank you.
Yeah, all right. All right, Chris Basie right there, heckling the double nickel bass tournament fisherman. Always good to hear from him. Being a tournament director, you know, you always have the scoop on what areas are doing good right now. And Chris definitely knows that area well, the North Shore with the rivers, all the rivers and bayous that are on the North Shore. Also, I want to remind folks, if you need any information as far as bass tournaments go, you go to NorthShoreFishingReport.com, click on the North Shore Bass Series page, and it's got all the tournament results and upcoming tournament information for you right there. All right, stick around. Cajun Ray Miller up next on the show. It's the North Shore Fishing Report on a cold November Saturday morning. Grab yourself a hot cup of coffee and let's talk fishing. Be right back. Welcome back. Okay, I have with me our next guest, Ray Miller of Madisonville. Ray focuses on that Trafunta River area, but he also ventures off the Trafunta every once in a while to track down those crappie. And things are starting to look a little more suitable for sockeye. The weather's getting cold. Those sockeye are heading into deeper water, schooling up nicely. So we're going to check in with Ray Miller right now to get the scoop on the sockeye scene here on the North Shore. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Keith. How are you, sir?
I'm doing just fine. Beautiful day looking like we have ahead of us and a beautiful stretch of warming weather.
Yeah, we need that.
Ray, now you concentrate on the Jafunkta River mostly, but is there any other rivers that you frequent? Or what's your second favorite river on the North Shore to fish for sockeye?
Well, I fish the Jafunkta, and then I go to the Tickfall and also Lacombe in that order. You know, Lacombe used to be primo sockeye, but ever since Katrina, it hasn't been the same. So with Tickfall, I've gone there several times, and I'm kind of learning that waters as well, but it's an awesome place. Like the Jafunkta.
Absolutely. So what's the Jafunkta look like right now?
Well, it's looking a lot better. It was getting much better, and then this north wind kind of blew in, and it muddied up the water a little bit. But yeah, it's just kind of in sections, and but it's certainly getting to be wintertime fishing condition.
Yeah. Yes, you're right about that. Talk a little bit about your last trip, if you don't mind.
I went yesterday with Adam Rizel. He's a new North Shore Fish Report guy. And we took off out of 4th Street Boat Launch. And we were just kind of trolling along. And I have, not far from the boat launch, I have like five spots. I said, well, let's just hit a couple of them and see what's up. Well, we pull up to the first spot. We didn't catch anything. Went down to the second spot. We call it Anaconda. And before you could blink, I had four fish in the boat. He's still looking. He said, "Hot damn, you know, you're going to outfish me today." I said, "I hope so." So, but caught him on jigs real quick. But we caught, Keith, we caught fish. We fished until about 1 o'clock, and we caught fish at every spot that we went to. But we caught a lot of what our gentleman angler calls tacos. We caught a bunch of throwbacks, and but we ended up catching 20 really nice fish. And I saw Jig Rig out there, and he was doing the same thing. He caught a bunch of little bitty fish, so which is good. You know, that means we had a heck of a spawn. I scanned one spot where we were catching these little fish, and the tree that was underneath the water, it was unbelievable how many fish were underneath that tree. It was awesome. But every time you drop that jig down there, boom. Boom, you know, but these little fish, we call them tacos, like four or five inch fish. So, which is really good for the fishery. I mean, we're going to have plenty of fish over the next couple of years for sure. But,
absolutely.
We caught a few nice bass as well, you know. So, but the biggest fish we caught was like 14 and a half, but we had several of them in there with 11 and 12 inch fish. So,
now those
are really
those big,
decent day.
Those bigger fish that you mentioned, are those mixed in with the smaller fish, or do they tend to stay in schools of their own?
Well, no, they'll be – most of the time these bigger fish, they're going to be there. But, well, and you're right, they're not necessarily mixed in with all these little fish. They're going to be away from them. When we caught those bigger fish, we caught some smaller fish on one side of the brush pile. And on the opposite side, in deeper water, is where we caught the bigger fish. We were catching some of these bigger fish. We were fishing in about 21 foot of water and fishing 12, 14 foot deep. So, yeah, but the smaller fish we were catching, fishing about 8 or 9 feet at the top of the brush pile. So the bigger fish were down on the lower. So, yes.
All right, you mentioned it's definitely looking like wintertime fishing. What does that look like as far as sockeye? What are they doing? What are they transitioning away from into?
Transition to deeper water. You know, I guess to stay warmer. And it's not that you're going to, during the wintertime, you're going to catch fish, but you got to fish deeper. That's the whole bottom line. They're going to be in deeper water, deeper brush piles. Usually during the wintertime, everything I do is going to be 12, 14 foot deep in about 20, 21 foot of water, you know, and it's mainly fishing, which kind of made it tough for me yesterday because it was such a hard north wind and it blew hard all day. And all my deep spots are in the river, you know, and when you get a north wind, it just blows straight down that river. Heck, we had white caps in the river. And I got home, I was so cold. My wife brought me a blanket, and I sat in my recliner for 4 hours before I started to warm up. I was prepared for the cold, You know, so I've had a scratchy throat since, but that wind just sliced through you. And Adam wasn't prepared for it at all. He just wore regular blue jeans instead of wearing some insulated pants. So yeah, he's probably sick this morning, too. But, you know, it was a good day, but it was just cold. Oh, my God. Jig Rig said, yeah, put on some more insulated underwears and go fishing Saturday. So.
Well, I've seen his post. It looked like he filled up that, ice chest.
Yeah,
that picture,
he did.
Huh?
He caught some nice ones. And because it worked out perfect for him. When we got to the boat launch, the water was up on it. It was over the boat launch, not over it, but you couldn't see under it. And the tide, that was the other part of the problem we had yesterday. That tide started kicking so hard, but it worked right into his plan. It dropped that water so much where he could start flipping underneath those boat docks.
Yeah.
He's got – and. Just he's got a few of them. It's not every boat dock on the river is good, but man, he knows exactly which ones work out when that sun comes up and that water's dropping, and he hit them, and boy, he busted them up pretty good.
Yeah,
if you notice,
he's more
looking at his pictures. Do what?
He's a caster, so I think the wind affects him a lot less than your style of jigging straight down.
He,
you know,
he was more in. He was more in the inside waters. He was fishing a lot of boat docks that were inside, out of the river. So yeah, just different styles of fishing. But if you notice, if you look at his box, if you look at the pictures on there, you'll see he had more blacks in there, and I had more whites. So that's where you can really tell the difference. The shallower water is going to be more blacks, and the deeper water in the river is going to be more whites.
Oh, okay. So whites are in deeper water. And what are you're away from the shiners now. Are you going strictly jigs?
No, I was using both yesterday. We pull up to a spot. I was using a jig, and Adam was using shiners. You know, so and then if I got a bite, we both were using shiners. I mean jigs, and then if he started catching, we both flipped over to shiners. So it's whatever it took to catch him and put him in the boat. You know.
What color jigs are working for you? You still using puke, brown, and orange?
Well, for me, yesterday, puke was orange, white, and chartreuse. That
orange,
was working for me yesterday. And, that's puke, orange, white, chartreuse. And the other color was electric chicken, of course.
Of course,
and
huh?
Of course. And as the water clears up, that, you know, that's going to change. Of course, the electric chicken's going to work pretty much most of the time, but in January and February and March, most of the time I'm going to be using especially in the middle of the spawn. You know, like in February, I'm going to be using a black and gold hair jig. You know, 32nd of an ounce, about 2 foot under cork. They tear that thing up. And then as the water kind of clears up in that river, you know, we'll be moving the plastics. And, man, just a litany of colors I'm going to have. You know, I got black and chartreuse, black, green, chartreuse, blue ice, blue grass. Then if the water gets really clear, you know, that pink and chartreuse. You know, so those are the color selections that, you know, I typically use. You know, and like I said, it just depends on the water clarity. Over the course of the year, but those are the main colors that I use.
Well, all right, Ray, we are running out of time quickly here. How's that river traffic? It's quieting down a little bit with the colder weather?
Oh, it was awesome. I think we saw 3 boats yesterday.
Oh, man.
So the water temperature was like 55 degrees, so you're not going to have any water skiers. I don't believe in this. It's way too – my wife is sitting here saying it's way too cold. So, but yes,
I've seen some people surprise me though on that river. You think it's too cold, you see a jet ski come around the corner.
Yeah, are they wearing one of those suits? So, and look, one more thing I had to. Yesterday we got back to the boat launch, and there was a guy in a truck, and he kept going back and forth, back and forth. Then he finally stopped, and he came over and talked to me, and he says, he lived just a few blocks off the river. He said, but I fish Bayou Lacombe all the time. And I said, really? He said, you don't fish the river? He says, no, I just really don't. I've never caught any fish in this river. I said, really? And so what are y'all? He asked us what we were fishing. I said, Sockeye. He says, you catching them at this time of the year? So I hollered over to Adam. He was in the truck. And I said, Adam, can you catch Sockeye all year round? Yep. So he come over and opened the box. He says, well, I'll be doggone. He said, I guess I'll have to start fishing the river. And he lives on the river. You know, so.
Those are fish that'll disappear on you. All right, Ray, thanks for joining us, buddy.
All right.
Good luck.
Later, man. Take care.
All right. Hope you enjoyed the show this morning. Certainly had fun this morning. Learned a lot from our guests. Want to thank our guests for coming on and sharing their knowledge. And we'll pick back up next week for another edition of More Outdoors from 7 to 9. Heard right here on WWL 105.3 HD2. Maybe hear about Don's hunting trip over in North Dakota. Until then, I'm Keith Lusher signing off. This has been the North Shore Fishing Report on More Outdoors.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.